Please pray with me. Almighty and ever-living God, the source and perfection of all virtues, please grant that I may employ myself in what is just and preach what is true, so that in my preaching and in my ministry I may provide for your faithful people the teaching that brings them grace. Amen. Jesus said, "Go and do likewise. Go and do likewise." Today, you can breathe a sigh of relief. There will not be a question requiring a response from the congregation. Because if I were to do it three Sundays in a row, it would become a tradition. I find this interesting. The Holy Eucharist, Rite 1, requires the Ten Commandments, or the summary of the law, to be said. And during our 5 p.m. Scottish Rite Holy Eucharist, the summary of the law is also said. But during the Holy Eucharist Rite 2, which we do at this service, it doesn't require the Ten Commandments or the summary of the law to be said. However, the rubrics, those are those little instructions in italics in the prayer book, do grant permission for the celebrant to say the summary of the law before the confession of sin. For me as a priest and as a person, I feel it's important for us to regularly say, hear, and learn the summary of the law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Striving to keep the summary of the law is difficult. It's like trying to obey the speed limit. You know you're supposed to do it, but it's just hard to do. The first part of the summary of the law is relatively tangible and doable because we know where God is and we know where God is not. We know he's not down there. And depending on your theology, God's either way up there in heaven somewhere, or over there, or lurking somewhere behind us, ready to either lift us up when we're miserable, just love us for who we are, or to catch us doing something we're not supposed to be doing. And we do a fairly decent job of loving God most of the time, or at least part of the time. Part two of the summary of the law is more difficult because we, like the lawyer, want to excuse ourselves for not helping when we know we should have helped someone by asking, "Jesus, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" When Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan to a lawyer, it was over 2,000 years ago. And we human beings like to think we've gotten better since then. Unfortunately, we are only fooling ourselves because we aren't much better. We still have a tendency to be the Christian or the citizen who walks away, looks away, or simply ignores someone in need in our community, in other states, and in other countries. For instance, on April 18th, 2010, Hugo Alfredo Tayllax, a homeless Guatemalan immigrant, was stabbed several times in the chest while saving a woman from a knife-wielding attacker. The woman and the attacker fled the scene. On the surveillance video, confirmed by the New York Police Department to be genuine, over 20 people are seen walking by and looking at Hugo bleeding to death, but did nothing to help. However, one person did stop long enough to take a picture with his cell phone before leaving Hugo to die. On Friday night, December 7th, 2007, Hassan Askari, a Muslim student from Bangladesh, jumped to the aid of Jewish subway riders who were being verbally and physically attacked. The trouble started immediately after the Jewish writer, Walter Adler, responded to someone saying Merry Christmas with Happy Hanukkah. Concerning the moment, Adler said, almost immediately you could see the look in the guy's face like I've called his mother something. Then one of the members of the group yelled, "Oh, Hanukkah, that's the day the Jews killed Jesus." When Adler tried to intercede and protect the small group of Jews, one of the transgressors punched him. And that's when Askari, the Muslim, came to the Jew, Adler's aid, which enabled Adler to have just enough time to pull the emergency brake. Concerning the event, Adler said, "A Muslim American saved us when our own people were on the train and didn't do anything." Neither the homeless Guatemalan immigrant, the Muslim student, nor the Samaritan had any obligation to help the person who was being or had been harmed. And yet they chose to be a neighbor, to be merciful, and by doing so, showed hospitality when everyone looked away. The kind of hospitality they gave wasn't the definition of hospitality we normally think about, entertaining family and friends. That's normally what we think about hospitality. But they exercised the other definition of hospitality, which is the definition that emphasizes friendly treatment to strangers. Hospitality is also friendly treatment to strangers. Of late, the news has been pretty bleak, from the Pulse nightclub massacre, a policeman shooting Philando Castile during a traffic stop, and the assassination of five police officers. Individually, each event is horrible enough on their own. But when grouped together and with other equally horrible events, one headline yesterday proclaimed, "Dallas shooting, tensions over race, policing, and guns threaten to boil over." Tensions over race, policing, and guns threaten to boil over. Concerning these events, Bishop Brewer wrote a pastoral letter. A copy of it is available in the back of the church today, if you wish to have a copy. And this is what he wrote. "Indifference is not what we need right now. What we need is prayer and action. What to do? What to do?" One thing in his letter, Bishop Brewer says that we can do is this: purposefully reach out. Ask yourself and your congregation the question, how do I intentionally contribute to racial unity? How do I intentionally contribute to racial unity? Bishop Rob Enns, Anglican Bishop of Europe, said, "Britain seems to be anxious to build fences. My job as a bishop is to build bridges." The same is true for us. Our job as Christians living in a world marked by increasing hostility and fear is to intentionally build bridges. Are you inviting people whose skin color is different from yours into your life? At home, at your dining room table, over coffee, in a Bible study. To help us purposefully reach out to build bridges, to show mercy, and to obey Jesus' command to go and do likewise, each of you are invited to our next Wednesday night study, which will begin in August. The Welcoming Congregation, Roots and Fruits of Christian Hospitality by the Reverend Henry G. Brinton. In the first part of the book, The Roots of Hospitality, we will learn about the biblical and historical roots of Christian hospitality, sites, meals, worship, and small groups. We will also discover that congregations that pay attention to first impressions are successful in attracting strangers, and churches that further disciple those visitors by meals and small groups deepens people's connections to God and with each other. In the second part of the book, The Fruits of Hospitality, which ties directly into the gospel lesson and the bishop's pastoral letter, is this. We will learn how congregations that are rooted in hospitality are able to grow in reconciliation, outreach, and ever-broadening perceptions of God. Pastor Brinton also writes in the book, "Theology tends to divide people and often leads to conflict. But a shared meal and an honest small group discussion can do the work of reconciliation by uniting people at the level of a basic human need while building relationships across social, economic, and political divides." As our country and our society continues to become more and more fractured, as followers of Jesus Christ, we must be more intentional and live out Jesus' summary of the law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. and love your neighbor as yourself. And we must become a hospitable neighbor to the stranger in our midst by being merciful and obeying Jesus' command to go and do likewise. Were we to live out just today's gospel, to the best of our God-given ability, then we would change ourselves. And by changing ourselves, we would change our communities. And by changing our communities, we would change our country in wonderful and joyous ways we could never have dreamed possible. And now please turn to page 833, page 833 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 833. Let us pray together. Prayer number 62. It's a prayer attributed to St. Francis. We'll pray it together. Let us pray. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us show love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much to seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. We'll now have a moment of reflection.